Mississippi, Missouri River National District. Public hearing, land acquisition for the Hampside 19 project, September 10th, 6:30. I call door, I turn the public hearing over to hearing officer John Winkler, general manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will start the hearing at 6:30 p.m. Agenda item is the evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice. I have that here. Agenda item four is the explanation and purpose of the hearing. Brett Meyer, please.
Good evening, directors. Brett Meyer, Hush Blackwell. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity of the proposed land acquisition at Papio Dam Site 19 project and the reasons for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. The owner of the property to be acquired has previously contacted the district regarding this potential acquisition and is a willing seller under applicable law. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections to the person. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda item five is identification of exhibits. Exhibit one is the agenda itself. Exhibit two is a proof of publication of the hearing notice in the Omaha World Herald, August 30th, 2019, and September 5th, 2019. Exhibit three is Dam Site 19, Track 8 exhibit. And exhibit four is the overall site map of Dam Site 19. Agenda item six is the explanation of the purpose and scope of the project. Amanda Grant, please.
The Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District is proposing the construction of the Dam Site 19 project, which is generally located at 192nd and Giles Road in Sarpy County, Nebraska. The purpose of this project is to provide public flood control and recreation for the Papillion Creek watershed and in the Omaha metropolitan area of eastern Nebraska. This location was chosen to maximize the controlled drainage area of the watershed. Dam Site 19 would be a public lake with public access, and there will be recreation elements associated with the project. All right, they're attached as exhibits. For this project, it will be... I'll just go ahead and describe the project. We'll see if we can find the maps. I think that you... for this project, it's necessary to acquire property for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the regional flood control dam and reservoir. And the district proposes to acquire fee simple title to and or permanent and temporary easements in, on, over, and across the lands required for the Dam Site 19 project. This particular public hearing is just for one parcel of the Dam Site 19 project. We are not quite at the point where we would hold a public hearing for the whole entire parcel. But if you look on the screen, the parcel highlighted in red there, as Brent mentioned, we were contacted by the owner, and we believe it's a willing seller situation. And this is just, it's a unique situation that's come up, and so we wanted to go ahead and take this first step as a public hearing so that we could move forward with conversations with the landowner. This particular parcel, and there should be one more map. The red there was 13 acres. The entire parcel is 16 acres. So we're looking at somewhere between 13 and 16 acres. Parcel or just the flood pool part of that be needed for the project, and that's due to it just cuts up the property pretty well. So we're going to look at both and talk, have discussions with the landowner on both of those. So we're going to say range of 13 to about 16 acres.
Agenda item 7 has received testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide the board any testimony or statements? Say your name and address for the record, please.
Alice, I live at this property, 20202 Lindale Drive. My ex-husband and I acquired it in 1989, and our Breton was a Class D school. My daughter's graduating class had 72 kids in it. I'm here And I've treasured those years that we've raised our children on this property. Actually, in 1999, Steve Oldman, you guys might know who he is, he approached me and my husband at the time, Rick Mike, about the dam site. And we were like, thinking, well, that'd be kind of nice to live right by a lake. Kept, you know, in conversation and such, and then didn't hear about anything. For years went by, I think it was 2000 right here, got another packet in the mail about the dam site. Didn't hear anything more. Here I have a 2004, got more information, didn't hear more. 2017, surveyors came out, and they did water samples, and they did, you know, a site map, I guess. I don't know what you guys call it. And didn't hear anything more, okay? And so here during this time, I have raised children on this property. I have ran my business, which is a horse farm, little boarding stables. Enjoyed it tremendously. It made tremendous use of the entire property, and I think I've done a really good job of making it look really pretty. Anyway, I've also paid tremendous taxes. Right now, I pay close to $26,000 a year in taxes. My husband and I are living in almost a 10,000 square foot house. We're not idiots. We don't need it. But I know the value of that land. So to me, it's like a commodity that I'm holding on to because I know it's growing, it's increasing in value, and it's going to be worth and is now worth a lot of money, based on the properties around us that are going for sale just on improved land. And I know that land would probably be zoned commercial, but it's still, you know, the land we have is very valuable. A big shock came to me is my husband's a chemist. He does a lot of consulting work, and a big company out of Phoenix, Arizona offered him a very great offer to work. I had never even thought about ever moving, that we'd retire here. I have eight grandchildren here. I have two of my two daughters are here. Two sons aren't, but got some strong roots here. But with the blessings of my kids and stuff, I have agreed to join my husband in Arizona. Now I have a property that I've been sitting on. And granted, I acquired the land in 89. And if any of you guys know my history, I've had three houses on one piece of land. Okay, so anyway, but the land has got a lot of history and memories for me. Got it from John and Greg Schnack back in the day, you know. It's a lot of changes, like I said. But how am I going to sell a property that's tax valued at $1.2 million and saying, oh, by the way, there's going to be doing a lot of construction back here. They're going to be ripping everything up. It's not going to look anything like it. I have to, you guys know, I have to disclose this. It's not something I can keep from anybody. I've got three buildings that are in the designated area where they're going to. One of them is a beautiful stables with stalls, and it's got a 1,600 square foot knotty pine lodge. It's got, you know, men's and women's bathroom, a kitchen in it. It's got everything. There's a cottage on there that's got, you know, bedroom, kitchen, bathroom. It's got a big building that I used to use for a riding arena that presently people are storing their things in there. So I'm like, I've got a lot going there. I've got another barn up by my house that has where my horses come in and out of when they're out in pasture. Of course, it's worth multi millions of dollars to me. It's also not just, I'm not just some, you know, investor just trying to make a buck. This has got a lot of history in my life, and it's got a lot of memories to it, and I never thought I'd be leaving until I'd be sitting on a house on the lake, is what I thought. So I just ask you to take into consideration, I'm not an investor in big-time real estate looking for, you know, big money. I am person who has loved and raised a family and had a lot of my work, my everything has been on this property, and it's extremely valuable to me. Leaving it's really hard, and so I ask that you would, you know, be kind in your considerations of this. It puts us in a really bad place if, you know, I can't get a buyout on the land. Is who can afford a house that's 1.2 million plus? First of all, let's take 1% of the population. I'm not bragging here. These are facts. 1% of the population. Of all those, who wants a big old acreage to take care of? So I know that I'm going to be dealing with a very small amount of the people out there who are going to want this property in the first place. But if it's told that everything's going to be torn down and there's going to be a lot of things going on there, it's going to make it hard. So I can't think of anything else to say. That works. Can you guys ask me questions?
Wants to.
Okay. All right. Great. I think I said everything. Thank you very much for your time.
Hi, Mr. Miller.
Question, is there any possibility to disassemble the barns? And
possible. I don't know how valuable that would be to somebody to take. Yeah, I've had people in there. I mean, it's lovely place, very, very nice. I had weddings. My son got married in there in 2015, and yeah, it's very nice.
Anybody else? Dr. Jeff?
If the dams weren't built there, you would stay there?
Well, based on my husband's, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow him with my kids. Blessings behind me.
And whether there's a dam built or not.
Yes, yes. And the reason that I say this is the acquisition early is because with the dam that in 1998 I was told about, and we're 21 years later, that isn't even for certain when, how am I going to sell my property? How am I going to sell it? Because common sense, how would you sell it?
Remember, a few months back, we had another landowner.
Yeah, Lynette. Yeah, Lynette and I.
That's in the same situation.
He's got a much more difficult situation.
And unfortunately, you're not unusual because six of our dam sites, we have folks kind of in similar or various situations of, hey.
What have you done in
when are you going to do this? So, well, we're working through it. So that's why it's up to the board of how to handle that. Okay. But it's thank you for coming because it sheds light on what we've been saying for a long time that the longer we delay, it affects real people.
Yeah, it
does. And your plans in life.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know, you got some emotional woman. But it's, my ex-husband and I, we're still friends. We've gotten past all that. And, you know, we talk about the times we were there and raising children. We built that big yellow house that was Roxburgh's live-in. Because Mike and I built that in 1996. That was our dream house. And, you know, we've had a lot of really special memories there. Both I got custody of the house, and then I kept the land. So, high investor here. This is somebody.
I'm sure Amanda explained to you, this is the first step that we have to take. This, then
Amanda's been great. Yeah.
When the time expires, then we can sit down and start talking then.
Just a little, my husband started work there Monday. He's in Arizona. Especially with winter coming.
Yeah. Is there any other questions for Ms. Gonzalez? Okay. Thank you for your time.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else I'd like to provide one of your statements in this public hearing? Sir?
Walt Fisher, 9300 Pearl Drive. I was wondering if you could put the map back up there. And I can maybe give you guys a little bit of insight, too.
Thank you.
Do you mind if I go?
No, go ahead.
is arranged.
Now, over in here, 2002, you had people come out and carrying on over in here that this is a designated wetlands. Out there, I can show you more where it is. What I was thinking, if you guys were interested in moving it over across the road, because there is a spring that's back here that feeds that little creek that goes across the road. Just for what it's worth. The buildings that Sue has are fantastic. You guys would be interested in doing horses around the dam site or whatever, something different than what all the other ones have. Barns or whatever for maintenance facilities, horses, or whatever like that. Just something to think about. You know, because you do have all that there, and you would be the only dam site that really has the horses, so to speak, to go around it. Horse trail or something like that, too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And one final time, is there anyone from the public that wants to provide any testimony or statements? Okay, we will close the hearing at 6:46 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to call to order request for proposal legislative representation services ad hoc consultant selection subcommittee September 10th, 2019. Roll call.
Bradley.
Here.
McKenzie.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
And Chairperson.
Here. We got notification of the meetings all in the back on the door. Quorum call. Do we have quorum call?
Here, deal.
Okay. Adoption of the agenda. A motion.
A motion.
Second.
Second. Item number five, proof of publication of tonight's meeting. Have proof of publication.
We vote on the agenda?
No.
We need to vote on the agenda first.
Okay. Roll call.
Stupinski.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
I have proof of publication of tonight's meeting. Part of the permanent record. Item number six, review and recommendation on contract with Catalyst Public Affairs to provide legislative representation services. John Winkler.
So the action at the board, we interviewed two firms, Hush Blackwell and Catalyst. The motion that came from the ad hoc was to enter into negotiations to enter into a contract with Catalyst for the government relations services for the term that was outlined in the RFP. That's the motion in front of us.
I'd like to move we... delay the action on this to the October meeting.
Delay action on this item to the October meeting.
Second.
Second. Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item?
Real quick. My name is Tim Gay. I'm the president of Catalyst Public Affairs. First of all, thank you very much for opening this opportunity. Looked at our full presentation we gave. I'm not going to give it. Anyway, I think we could do a great job for you. I reached out to several of you. If you have any questions, my contact information is in the proposal. Feel free to ask me any questions that come up between now and October. We're trusted with your business. We'll do a great job for you.
Anybody else wish to speak to the item?
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. I guess my question to the committee would be, what would be the purpose of the delay?
I think we want full board to vote on it.
So you mean this is a vote until Thursday, is what you're saying?
October. If this passes, if the motion passes, it would be in October.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak to the item from the public? Directors? Roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Sadinsky.
Yes.
And Shepard.
Aye. That concludes the committee. POPA, Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee. Notification of Open Meetings Act is on the back door. Quorum call.
Fowler.
Here.
Brunwald.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Here. Adoption of agenda?
So moved.
Motion? Have a second?
Second.
Second. Roll call.
Brunwald.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Shepard.
Aye. Have proof of publication of tonight's meeting. Item number six, review and recommendation on resolutions to be considered at the 2019 NARD Annual Conference. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following resolutions, 219-1 and 219-2, have been introduced for discussion and adoption by the NARD at its fall conference in Kearney in September. The first resolution, 219-1, has been introduced by Upper Niobrara White. It's the Nebraska Natural Resources Commission membership requirements, and simply that the resolution would be to amend state statute to ensure that all members of the Nebraska Natural Resources Commission do reside in the state of Nebraska. There's no requirement of that currently, and so they would like to amend the statute to do that. Resolution 219-2 is submitted by the Lower Elkhorn NRD and its enhanced bonding authorities, and that resolution recommends that the NARD seek changes to amend Nebraska statute to enhance financial authorities for all natural resource districts to issue general obligation bonds to finance projects related to flood control, water quality, and water quantity for the benefit of all Nebraskans. And those two are the only ones that were submitted. If there's any additional resolutions, it takes a two-third majority of the NARD participants to get that on to the ballot, and then it takes two-thirds vote to approve those. So these take simply a simple majority from the membership. I will note that the enhanced bonding authorities, or bonding authority in general, is a policy of the NARD, so that automatically gets the backing of the NARD and the districts, although voting for that does show support for that. But again, it's a policy, and so it automatically is advanced for support. You can take these one at a time or a package, however the committee would like to.
The will of the committee. Again. Okay,
I just need some information. Was somebody not a resident on the committee? Is that why they're trying to?
Allegedly, I don't know this for a fact, but there is a member that does not live in the state of Nebraska.
We're just cleaning that up.
I don't know why that was
cleaned
never.
Maybe both.
Is there anyone from the public wish to speak to these two items? Any more comments from directors?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm not on this committee, but on the enhanced bonding authorities submitted by the Lower Elkhorn NRD. Lower Elkhorn NRD ever, I guess, sort of vote in favor or recommend for the Papio, Missouri NRD to get
As stated, any district or combination of districts that seek bonding authority receive automatic support from the NARD and its members, so that they would include the Lower Elkhorn. So they did support our effort.
Back when we were.
Yes, sir. Both times.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, sir. Two statements I have here. One, we have bonding authority, whether I'm a fan of it or not. Those of you that like it, if you get into this situation, and I don't don't know how the legislature is going to go. If you get involved on the wrong side of this, maybe it's going to cost you guys. Just something to consider. The other one is not our fight. Really, we have our bonding authority. That's point two. And point three would be, who's picking up the bill on the lobbying? Is it us? Is it the Nebraska? Who's doing the lobbying on that side? Is it, has it been determined? Any insights?
The Lower Elkhorn, it would be their bill. However, it applied to all districts. So I'm sure the NERD has their own firm that lobbies, and so they would all be a part of the discussion. I'm sure if there's questions or comments or need information that we're asked, we would gladly provide it to any party that asks.
But we're not going to be part of the lobbying.
We don't know that yet. It depends. Will the board is supported, I suppose we will be. I don't know if we'll have a choice.
Judge Dunn.
Yeah, these two resolutions, for those new on the board, basically, as John Winkler said, endorsing our fellow NRDs and what they want to do. The MEPS requirement, as a former board member of the commission, I think that's self-explanatory. As you learn through those things, sometimes you got to tweak them, and that's what that is. As far as binding authority, I'm proud that someone recognized the great job we've done with our bonding authority, and they thought, hey, we want it too, and that's fine. The NARD will proceed, assuming they'll find a senator to introduce a bill and so on. That remains to be seen. But this basically is, sure, we're all in this together. Vote. So I hope we vote positive.
I'd like to vote on each section here independently.
Each item separately. We had a request to vote on both of them at the same time. Motion on this? Or it should be one each or at the same time since we got two requests?
It's two. I don't care either way.
Do them individually and we'll be good.
Okay. We'll take item 2019-1. First, we got a motion to approve that.
Yes. Second.
Second. Roll call.
No, I just said, do we have a motion? Because yeah, there was a motion to approve them. We're just dividing them up.
Sorry, we're just dividing them. So do we have another motion to divide them now? Is that what we need?
Yeah.
Well, no, I pulled mine back, so we'll just
divide. Did it was the original motion for discussion?
Say that again.
The original motion to approve these for discussion?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would be the first and the second. Right?
Well, Fowler made motion.
I don't think there was an initial motion.
Oh, there was, okay. Okay, okay.
So now we need a motion to approve both of them at the same time?
I'll make a motion to consider 2019-1.
The motion. Okay, we've got a second to that motion. Second to approve 2019-1. Any more questions regarding that? Roll call.
Jeff.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Glenmore. Aye. Now we need another motion to approve 2019-2.
So moved.
Separated. Oh. Is that a motion? Do we have a second? I think.
Tim McCormick, second. Fowler, or first. Tim, second. Two Tims.
Tim and Tim.
Tim and Tim.
Tim is approved. Down to mine.
Any further discussion? Roll call.
McCormick.
Yes.
Fowler.
No.
Aye. That concludes.
Larry, you want to get
him? Oh, excuse me. First time ever. Here we go. Yeah, where is the gavel?
No, you don't have it. Just pulling the system.
All right. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. And we ask the public not to interrupt the directors' discussion and action. Thank you. This open the FEL committee meeting. Quorum call.
Begley.
Here.
McCormick.
Here.
Conley.
Here.
Andrew.
Here. Adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Conley.
Yes.
And
yes. Publication of meeting notice. I've made that known. And right now, review of and recommendation of the adoption FY23 budget and set property tax levy at 0.037384 for the fiscal year 2020 budget. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. District received final valuations from the county clerk's offices, and the final numbers are as follows in the memo. Sarpy County is on 8.32% increase, Douglas a 7.18% increase, Washington County 5%, Dodge 2.64%, Burt saw negative 9.88%, Thurston 0.4%, and Dakota 0.5%, totals 6.86% increase. Tax levy will be set at 0.037384. This is a decrease from last year. Total tax requirement of $26,379,013 is an overall increase of $1,555,063 from last year's total tax requirement of $24,823,950. Increase in valuations was greater than anticipated. Changes from the draft presented in August are highlighted in yellow. Two most significant changes, we received updated estimates from the Corps of Engineers to repair flood damage levees. The West, Big, and Little Papio levee flood rehab cost was raised from $1.8 million to $2.3 million, which is a $500,000 increase. And Western Sarpy levee flood rehab materials were raised from $60,000 to $103,000, which was a $43,000 increase. Just to put this in perspective, those four systems are in the PL 8499 program. And one thing that we always stress here is don't skimp on maintenance. And to keep those levees in the program, it takes a ton of maintenance, a ton of time, a ton of cost. Martin could tell you firsthand the struggles with the PL 8499 program, and Marlin as well. But here's what it saved us during the flood. Union Dyke, the Corps of Engineers, spent $3.5 million. NRD spent $950,000. Western Sarpy levy, the Corps will spend or has spent $4.5 million. NRD $120,000. The Papio levies, the Corps of Engineers will spend or has spent $9.2 million. The NRD $2.3. The R613-616 levy, Corps of Engineers will spend $10.3 million on repairs. We spent $450,000. Total, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers $27.5 million, NRD $3.8. Without those levies in those programs, we would be looking at an additional $27.5 million this fiscal year for repairs. I don't know if you've been keeping up on the news, but the village or the town of Peru is going through a situation where their levees were damaged by the flood. Those levees were removed from the PL 8499 program several years ago, and Peru is still flooding. Their treatment plant's flooding, their downtown's flooding, their highways are flooding. They have no resources to fix them. I got a call from several folks, one from the university president of Peru, looking everywhere for assistance. And so when we say that we don't skimp on maintenance, this is why. So instead of a $5.5 million hole for flood, we would add $27.5 million to that. So put it in perspective, it saved us a tremendous amount of money. Also, there are some additional changes that were made to the budget. They were very minor. And they are listed in yellow. And if you go through the budget, the one of note is the $35 million for bond refunding. So again, as explained, when that was passed, the bond refunding, we have to put that in as revenue coming in and expense going out for the refinance. So obviously it skews your overall expenditures, which right now shows $119 million. Obviously that's not accurate as far as the yearly budget. It's $35 million lower than that. So, and again, the proposed levy is 0.037384, which a property valued at $100,000 would pay $37.38 a year. The district was limited to 2.5% increase in restricted funds growth. We do meet that requirement, and we are within statutory compliance with our LID amount. Again, the valuations, and I went over those, 91% of the district valuations or the district revenue comes from Sarpy and Douglas County. It's up to 1% from last year. Again, this is the 14th out of the 15th year the district has either kept its mill levy static or actually dropped it. And as I stated, that we're dealing with this budget was a little more challenging as we're dealt with, you know, a little over $5 million, $5.1 million in flood damages. We did roughly reduce the first draft of the budget by over $6 million to try to stay within our existing mill levy, which we try to do every year. And we were able to do that. The Corps threw us a little bit of a curveball with the additional increases in their estimate for repairs, but luckily the valuations were high enough where we didn't have to cut any more. If the valuations would have been what we thought or lower, that's $543,000 we would have had to remove from our projects and programs that we already cut. Over $2.5 million of this has come, the cuts came from the Watershed Fund. And that has a direct impact. For example, Ms. Gonzalez, who is here tonight, asking us to buy her property because she's moving, that's $2.5 million less that we have to operate. And same with Lynette, who was here before on Dam Site 19. That's $2.5 million less that we have somehow have to make up if we want to go ahead and help these folks and if we want to move our projects forward. So, again, it was... We were fortunate in the flood that we it was only $5.5 million. We're expecting to get 1.7 back from FEMA, but obviously, again, we don't know when those funds will come. It could be next year, it could be 2 years, 3 years. We don't know. So we're eating all of that cost. And $5.5 million or five point whatever, that's almost a penny of our levy. So to be able to nudge it down a little bit and it still cover everything, including the flood, I would say that we've done a fairly good job to do that. And hats off to the staff, especially the Bill Warren and his guys that keep these levees maintained, and Martin and Marlin. I mean, without that, I mean, you're looking at a huge, huge hole that there's no way we would have filled. We'd been taking out loans. We'd been bonding just to repair things. And now remember, of all that $5 million that's in damages, we're only getting back 1.7. So we're eating the rest. And the way the forecast looks for this winter and maybe this spring, I'd hate to say maybe we're back in the same boat next year. But let's pray that we're not. So this budget funds everything we need to fund. It meets all of our obligations. It meets all statutory requirements. I believe fiscally conservative as far as we tried to take only what we needed, and so I think that's the way we've operated for 15 years, and hopefully we continue to do that. So I'll be happy to answer any questions or answer anything specific on the budget if you have any.
Thank you. Does anyone from the public wish to speak on this item? And I ask that you keep your comments to about 5 minutes.
I'll hopefully be shorter. And I'll hand this out when I'm wrapped up. Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street, Omaha. A couple things I need to kind of correct, I believe, in some of the statements. The property tax increase, actually, when you compare it to the actual taxes collected versus the budget, is actually a $2.7 million increase, which is how I judge it, because that's how much my increase in taxes are going to be. It's an 11% increase from prior year, which is a pretty big jump in my opinion. Since 2010, the Papio NRD has increased their taxes $9.7 million, which is 160% increase over those years. And then as an elected official, I think that this group needs to really bear down and start doing some line item changes to this budget in order to control the taxes. I'd like to point out also, if you could go to the memo sheet that's on the beginning of this. If you go to the house, if you go up just a little bit on the valuation thing on the $100,000 house, it's just towards the bottom of this memo. What's being left out on this schedule is the fact that you take a $100,000 house in 2019. In Douglas County, that house is now a $107,000 house times the levy is actually a $40 per $100,000 when you're comparing apples and apples. So what this doesn't do is show the valuation increases that we're hit with as taxpayers. So the taxes actually will not be decreased. They're actually going to go up on our valuations as well. I'm going to present similar testimony than I had last month, and I'm not going to bore everybody with the details, but I believe one of the key elements, and while I oppose the bonding and the use of bonding, I think this might be a situation where the bonding should be used to fund at least half of that $5.5 million that is being used because of the flooding. That's why you were in Lincoln. That's what you told the senators. And the fact that you're not using it is kind of interesting to me that you're not. So those are my general comments, and my specific ones will be in this written testimony for those who care. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wish to speak? Seeing none, the staff. Directors.
Chairman, I don't think we have a motion on the floor yet.
The others don't. All right. Thank you for reminding me.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second. Now we discussion directors. Directors? Hermit?
Fortunately, we've had an increase in valuations enabled us to keep up with the increased cost from an extraordinary year of flooding and the events, and I'm going to support this because it's needed, but we need to be prepared for when valuations stop rising so quickly, and we're going to have to make some serious deep cuts to make sure we can stay within budget. That's pretty much some of it.
Anyone else? Seeing none, roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Begley?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
And Chipper?
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Agenda item number 7, and I think that was...
finishing land purchases for Zirinsky Basin 2, and we closed on this kind of long parcel here with Lanahaw Development. They already had platted, and they had some construction going on, and we purchased this large piece here. So I think it was about 20 acres. And when we started construction, and they realized kind of simultaneously at the same time construction, Blue Sage was named as the Street of Dreams location, and they realized that the work we were planning to do in this stretch here would take down a lot of the large trees, which they felt was really a detriment to their development and to during the Street of Dreams, and so they had asked that we reconsider what we had planned in this area, which was mitigation for our they asked that we reconsider this location. If you remember, we had an amendment with the HDR for their contract that the board approved to look at that, and we were planning to move the mitigation to dam site 15A. It actually kind of makes more sense. We have some mitigation there. It just makes for a bigger preserve area, bigger area. So we've taken a long time since then to get our approval of the plan to move that out there. We finally have that, and we took a long time to work through with our contractors. Finally, we're in a place where we have that all squared away, and we would now like to sell this 6 acres of this larger tract. It's this right in here, that 6 acres about that back to Manahog Development. Sell it back to them for the price that we recommending tonight is that we no longer need the mitigation there. We have declared this area as surplus property and that we are able to sell that 5 dollars back to them. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to.
I'd like to move staff recommendation on that.
Motion is there a second?
Second.
Does anyone from the public wish to speak to this item?
Of course.
None. Staff? Directors?
Just one question. Yes, they've already agreed to this, or they want the land back, or we're just proposing. Do you want it?
No, the idea was we're going to build it if not, you need to buy it back. And
okay.
They were here in support of the HDR amendment, if you remember, because that was kind of the first step to get that. So, yes.
Offering this, they do want it. Got it. Thank you.
Director McCormick, and then we'll go to
so the is this, will it be developed at all, or is this all going to be remain trees and?
So it couldn't be developed because it's very outside part, but it already has lots. There's a creek setback.
They won't add lots. What was the cost for the change order for the contractor to relocate?
That was one of our big concerns. So we paid about $70,000, I'm rounding up, to have the design redone into the core. Then our contractor subtracted the cost that went into the mitigation.
All right, Director Grunwald.
Vance asked my questions.
Director Thompson.
I think he answered mine. Let me, if I heard you correctly, the change order and all that, we're making it back even though we sold or selling at the same price?
Yep.
The extra work we had to do to move the mitigation cost us $260,000, but then this sales $346,000.
A kudos to whoever the Lorax was on the ground that said save these trees. So,
yeah.
That roll call.
Yes. Yes.
Hi.
Yes. All right. Item number 8. Review and recommendation, West Papillion Regional Basin 6, surplus land sale agreement, Amanda Grin.
So if we, maybe if you scroll down, it's right there, thanks. So this is, we're going to talk about the WP6 project here. So So in November of 2018, we closed on a piece of property with the Hague Family Trust for this parcel south of Cornhusker Road. It's kind of outlined in yellow. It's a little hard to see. But we closed on that piece with that family. And the family already had this larger tract under contract with the developer. And so the developer was a party to our agreement because we have a contract on the entire parcel. We understand the NRD is going to buy a portion for WP6. So, and there was a lot of talk back and forth at that time about if, when they have their layout, if they could do a little grading right up next to the flood pool, and then they that by excavating, as long as there's an even flood pool, we don't care. We do that a lot for some, you know, just to allow for a few modifications. It might be a little more clear. But there's a lot of talk at that time about what the property line, this outside property line would exactly look like. And maybe if we can make it a little smaller. This outside line was our initial proposed property line that included all of the flood pool that we needed. And the inside line is what the developer had proposed. Can we move it back there if we can provide the offset of grading and all that? At any rate, we said that would be fine. They didn't quite have their grading done yet. But in the closing process, the title company, there was a mix-up, and they did close on this outer line, which whereas the other one was 38.9 acres. So they have since that time submitted a grading plan to us so we could verify that the flood storage was equivalent. Okay to that grading plan. And so now the next step, if we wish to allow them to execute their development and that grading, that we move this property line and sell back. Let's see, it's 693 acres. Up that difference, and that's again, we would sell that at the same price that we bought it for. In this case, we paid $44,000. So tonight, for your consideration, we're recommending that we declare that we no longer need this 2.0 that back to BHI $44,000 an acre, which the total is.
Move staff recommendation.
Okay. Director Conley motion, Director McCormick second. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to speak to this item? None. Staff, directors.
Council. This no way affects public access around the lake.
Trail and everything was planned on.
Anyone else? None. Roll call.
Yes.
Conley?
Yes.
And
yes. Thank you. The FEL committee is adjourned.